Item 1367, adopt the locally preferred alternative for the Powell Division Transit and Development Project and conditions for approval.
Commissioner Novick.
Good afternoon, colleagues. We're here today at an important milestone for the Powell Division Transit and Development Project. Council is being asked to adopt the project's locally preferred alternative, also known as the LPA, to affirm the recommended route and station locations for what will be the region's first rapid transit project connecting downtown Portland with the Gresham Transit Center. The council has heard about this project a few times, and most recently in July, we adopted the Portland Local Action Plan, a companion plan to the project that focuses on land use concepts and community development actions for the Powell Division Corridor in the city of Portland. The city is already taking some steps to advance the action items in the plan, and working with community leaders, staff has developed conditions of approval to the LPA that we're going to be asked to adopt today as amendments to the LPA, and Jean Seneschal-Biggs will take us through the specifics. These conditions describe a number of key commitments by the city, TriMet, and Metro to advance actions in the Portland Local Action Plan around housing, construction mitigation to support businesses, transit service in the corridor as the project advances. I think we'll hear testimony today. They'll be asking us to implement these actions sooner rather than later and make funding those actions a priority for the council. Before we begin, there's a couple of members of the project steering committee here today. I want to extend my thanks to them for participating in the decision-making for the project. It was a long process to get here. Thank you for your service. I think Ken Marks and Lori Boyson are among the committee members that are here today. This project is about more than transit. It's about transit and housing and jobs and education and placemaking and people and how they will all intersect. PBOT will be coming back at least two more times to seek council approval for the project. I'll ask the council continue to hold the project, city bureaus, Metro, and TriMet accountable for the commitments we're making as the project moves forward. They're important to the community and the success of the project. This will require that the council fund the actions. PDC will be making a general fund request to support the business technical assistance programs and begin their efforts early on in the project so those businesses are prepared for construction and the arrival of BRT. Please give that request serious consideration. Staff worked very hard to bring this proposal forward. Thank you all for your efforts. I look forward to seeing this new service open in 2021. And I think now I'm turning it over to Gene.
Good afternoon. Bring up your resource people there, Gene.
I am. They are my resource people. Pops in the mouth.
Sorry.
Good afternoon. I'm Jean Seneschal-Biggs. I'm a project manager with the Portland Bureau of Transportation. Joining me here today is Leah Treat, our director, and Councillor Bob Stacey from the Metro Council. I'm going to have them say a few things first, and then I'll go through the presentation.
Thanks, Jean. Your Honor, members of the Council, Commissioners, Bob Stacey, Metro Councillor for District 6 at Southwest and Southeast Portland, more or less. I'm pleased to be here today. The clerk is providing you with a letter from me and my co-chair of the steering committee for the Division Transit Project, Councillor Shirley Craddock, thanking the city for your engagement in this process and urging your support for this locally preferred alternative decision. We faced great needs in the Southeast Corridor when we began what was then called the Powell Division Rapid Transit Project or High Capacity Transit Project, a lack of really strong transit service to match the very strong demand that filled the buses more than they had seats for, more than they had room to stand in the aisles at rush hour, a need for access to that transit line in the form of better sidewalks, accessible crossings and safe crossings, and better shelters and stations for people to wait for the bus, as well as more frequent service and quicker service. To the extent that was possible with the modest resources provided by a Small Starts federal grant and the matching resources that we're still putting together from local partners, from TriMet, and from the region, we have gone a long way toward meeting some of those very clear needs for better access. We also, I think along the way, discovered something about our community, about the strength of the folks who are served by this line and this investment, the strength of their opinions, the strength of their advocacy, their willingness to step forward and help lead a project like this. Some of the things that, with their help, we've accomplished are improved stations. They're a bit farther apart to enable the bus to make better progress. The level boarding at those stations through three doors so that we can get on and off the buses more quickly. Many more seats and much more space on a 60-foot articulated longer bus than on a standard coach. With the same level of frequent service in the morning and all day long that's been enjoyed on the division line, but with this greater capacity and perhaps more service in the future. We've also provided for improved stations with more amenities for the passengers as well as more shelter from the elements. And we expect with signal priority to provide a much quicker journey through both outer and inner division. We're doing all this because the thousands of people who ride on the division line today deserve and now will get a much better transit experience. But we're also doing it because of those other community values that are served by a transit investment. This city has provided very important leadership for this project, beginning, of course, with Commissioner Novick and with Director Treat, who has served with the commissioner on the steering committee, extending to the staff of PBOT for sure, but also the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, Housing, PDC, all of whom joined together to assist this council in developing with the community and adopting the Portland Action Plan, which speaks to how this city and its investments can further the employment ambitions, the effort to avoid displacement from new development that could be encouraged by this transit investment, to ensure more housing affordability along the corridor, east and inner east side Portland. I think along the way, in addition to doing a very good job of meeting the needs we can with this level of investment, at least from Metro's perspective, we've set a new standard for civic engagement and community involvement in decision making. It's not simply that we've had a process that engaged people in their own languages with printed material in four different languages with culturally sensitive and specific engagement through workshops that were oriented to communities of color and immigrant communities in East Portland, but also because the steering committee itself engaged not only the usual suspects, government, but also representatives of community groups all along the corridor. It was those representatives of community groups that kept it very real. Platitudes or generalities about how this would work were not satisfactory for people who wanted to understand how it would affect their community, how it would affect the interests they were there to represent, how it would ensure to the best possible extent that we improve East Portland and the entire alignment rather than simply pass through it. And I think to the extent we've achieved success, it's in large part because we not only listened, but we gave a vote to those folks. And I expect that to be the standard going forward when Metro, at least, is involved in a decision of this magnitude, to ensure that we're not simply seeking to represent because we were elected, but to seek to engage those who will be served by a project to ensure that it's the best possible outcome. It's not the best outcome. I'll be the first to acknowledge that it would be great to have a separate lane on Powell Boulevard going under the railroad tracks. It would be terrific to have true gold standard bus rapid transit. That or light rail will come at a different time in the Southeast Corridor. My own personal favorite is that we keep Powell Boulevard as a light rail corridor for future development. I don't have the authority to make that determination, but that's what I'm going to be voting for in the future. Another thing that I've recognized from this process, and I know you all fully recognize, is that we do not have the resources in our region and in our communities to do what needs to be done to move the people who are seeking to move today in a way that's sustainable, nor do we have anything like the resources to make it possible to provide access, accessibility, and movement for the larger numbers that we expect in the future. This is a darn good start. I commend commend it to your attention and urge your approval. I'd be glad to answer any questions, but I know your capable staff will do a better job than I.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Bob. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Stacey, and good afternoon. I'm Leah Treat, the director of the Portland Bureau of Transportation, and as the councillor mentioned, I have been serving as Commissioner Novick's delegate on this steering committee for the past 3 years, I believe. So this project is really about making transit better on Division Street. Line 4 riders are often passed up. Buses are almost always full, and they're delayed in significant congestion along the corridor. So this project that we're voting on today presents an opportunity for us to improve access to jobs, access to educational opportunities at the Portland Community College campus in Southeast, connections to OHSU, and connections to Portland State University. As Councillor Stacy mentioned, throughout this planning process, we have heard from the community extensively about the project and the proposed elements. And what we've heard the most is that it's very important for this project to benefit the people who live and work in the corridor, and we are very intentional in our efforts to respond to those calls. You're going to hear more today about actions by our partners that are going to complement the new BRT line with affordable housing investments, technical assistance for businesses that are going to be impacted by the project, and improved transit service to connect with the new BRT line. I want to say thank you to our agency partners at Metro, at TriMet, the City of Gresham, Multnomah County, and ODOT, who worked with us alongside city staff and our community members in developing the project. And special thanks to PBOT's partners at the Portland Housing Bureau, the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and the Portland Development Commission, who came along with us on this transit project and helped us take a much more holistic approach to the local preferred alternative that we're presenting to you today. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Jean to jump into more details, and thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Okay. So I already introduced myself. A little bit about the action that you're taking today. We're going to be talking about what we call a locally preferred alternative for the project. The conditions of approval, which are some of the actions that Leah and Bob mentioned earlier with our partner agencies, what we're calling a corridor-wide strategy, that's sort of a coordinated set of actions by the project partners, looking at the corridor as a whole and sort of coordinated investments. And then you're specifically directing the city bureaus to take actions and requesting some similar sorts of actions from TriMet and Metro. I'm going to do a high-level overview of this, and I know you're already behind schedule today, so I'm going to try to keep the pace up. We were last here in July, and we presented the local action plan to you. There were a number of community priorities in that plan towards affordable housing and economic development. And as we continued forward sort of to where we are here today, the community really continued to press us to advance those actions. So we have some news and updates on some of those here. I'll talk about them a little later. So Division Transit. The Line 4 Division is one of the most frequent and high ridership bus lines in the TriMet system. I think Leah and Bob mentioned earlier, it also receives some of the highest complaints in the system for people who are passed up and having full buses due to overcrowding. TriMet continually makes adjustments to the schedule to try to relieve that, but the traffic conditions are so variable and the schedule just can't compensate sort of when and where that congestion occurs. One thing, nearly all the eastbound evening commute trips are late at least once a week. And more than half of them are overcrowded. And then there's sort of the last piece. People often talk about bus bunching on the Line 4 Division. That's where one bus gets delayed just from having to make frequent or lengthy stops, and then that allows the bus behind to catch up. Where you see that leading bus crowded and the bus right behind is empty. Those are some of the sort of the needs out there on Division Street that we're hoping to resolve. Simply adding more buses won't improve service. That's what's really led us to looking at this new rapid bus service. We are talking about TriMet's looking to invest in new articulated buses. These are not the buses from 20 years ago, for those of you that remember. There's new technology. They're much better. We're also looking at having amenities and weather protection at each station to really improve the rider experience. I think Bob had alluded to, the stations will be spaced further apart. But in this case, at every station, you would find a place that's a nice place to wait. Some of the other improvements we'll be making are sort of physical changes to the street or changes to the traffic signal system to help the bus move through traffic. BRT, it's not a prescriptive approach. There's really sort of a range of tools that we can use. Things like larger buses with outdoor boarding and dedicated travel lanes, transit signal priority, that's where the buses and the traffic signals communicate with each other, wider stop spacing we talked about, and intersection modification. So it's really a whole range of tools, and we've found a way to apply them to Division Street. So the locally preferred alternative, this is from our project steering committee's last meeting on November 7th. That's when they made their recommendation to approve this LPA. It took three years to reach this point. We had a few twists and turns, but we've landed on this alignment. Here's a map, and it's, albeit it's small, you have one in your packet. So the locally preferred alternative calls for bus rapid transit with stations at the locations shown here between downtown Portland and the Gresham Transit Center. The route will operate on the downtown transit mall. It'll cross the Willamette River and then run along Division Street from 8th Avenue all the way out to the Gresham Transit Center. The river crossing is a decision that's still yet to be made. That's why you see sort of two lines crossing the Willamette River. That's showing the new Tillicum crossing and then the Hawthorne Bridge. There's a preference that's been stated by the steering committee to use the Tillicum just so that we would have access to OHSU and a little bit shorter trip to Portland State University. But the challenge that we have there is with the freight crossing of the Union Pacific tracks and the Max Light Rail tracks at 8th and Division. TriMet and PBOT have been working with Union Pacific Railroad to explore some solutions to reduce delay due to, in particular, the freight rail trains that cross through there. We're working towards a solution there. If there's not a solution that allows us to find sort of acceptable delay to get to the Tillicum crossing, then we would be using the Hawthorne Bridge. So one of the actions in the resolution is to direct staff to continue that work and come back to you within a year with our findings about which river crossing is the right route. So here's a little bit about the timeline. So we're one of sort of four in the queue to be reviewing and adopting this LPA. The Gresham City Council, they adopted the LPA last night at their hearing. Next week, the LPA will go to the TriMet Board of Directors and the Multnomah County Commission. Once all of the local jurisdictions have approved, the LPA kicks off the next phase of design. And then in early 2017, TriMet will begin that work again, convene a community advisory committee and a policy and budget committee for the project. After all the local jurisdictions adopt this LPA, then Metro considers it, and that begins a process of amending the regional transportation plan to include the LPA. Metro hands off the lead role for the project to TriMet, and then the process of amending the RTP is expected to conclude in the spring, and that's really based on all of the local jurisdictions adopting the LPA by the end of this year. This is really about sort of the timing and why your decision today is so critical. In order to advance the design beginning in January of next year, we need to have all of the information required to submit our project to the Federal Transit Administration for what they call a project rating through the Small Starts program. So if we don't begin our design work right away, we won't have all the information necessary to do that. It would end up pushing the project out a year, and as you can see, it's really critical for us in terms of looking ahead. In February 2018, we'd like to see this project in the president's budget. So there's that. I'm going to pause there. Any questions? Okay. We'll keep going. Okay, great. So we talked earlier, I think both Bob and Leah, we've had some conversation with community around the local action plan, and we've bundled them together into what we call conditions of approval. They're Exhibit C in your packet. This is really sort of based on this call from the community about specific actions that they wanted to hold us accountable for. And these commitments that I'll describe a little bit here are based on what the bureaus and agencies believe are achievable. But I'm going to sort of pause for a moment and just point out that the commitments here are sort of part of broader goals, and that for the agencies that are implementing these actions, there may be factors that come up that are out of our control, whether it be things like budget resources or properties being available. But again, sort of we've packaged this thinking what we believe is achievable, but at the same time, there may be times when we're coming back to this council and asking for more resources to achieve them. So I'm going to just give a few highlights. The first sort of areas around community engagement, there'll be, as I mentioned, a community advisory committee for the project. That's something that TriMet will be leading and convening. TriMet also has a business outreach program for the transit project. And then the Portland Housing Bureau, in conversation, has really agreed to encourage sort of more of a sense of partnership with the community to identify project opportunities and goals, and has been willing to enter into an MOU with those communities to continue sort of that partnership. Around affordable housing, if you remember, we were here in July. You heard from the Housing Bureau Director, Kurt Krieger. In the local action plan, we had identified a number of housing units, a target of around 300 housing units in that plan, and we had a gap of about $30 million. And he was here back in July to explain how, based on new housing resources, he felt the ability to be able to fill that gap. In the conditions of approval, there's more specificity about kind of how that commitment will play out in terms of where new housing construction would occur in the corridor, sort of in four key segments. In East Portland, there would be somewhere around 80 to 125 affordable new units. In the J District, there's a project underway at the old furniture store building that will have 47 affordable units. Somewhere in the corridor within this 20-block stretch around Cesar Chavez Boulevard, there's a project of about 100 to 300 units anticipated. And then in the Clinton Triangle, near the Max Orange line, there's a project anticipated of about 70 to 120 units. So that's sort of how the new affordable housing commitment is expected to take shape in the corridor, so that there's new affordable housing that accesses the transit service itself. And then just another highlight, there's a small rental rehab program that receives a general fund allocation to be able to do rehab on affordable housing units in East Portland. So the next category is around economic development and business mitigation. This is Santiago Sanchez from Casa del Sol. He's in the Division Midway Alliance area. So the question is, how do we prepare, you know, business owners like Santiago for the construction that's to come, and sort of ensure that those businesses continue to thrive? There's a number of actions here. TriMet plans to work closely with the business owners to plan for construction. They have a solid track record from their previous projects with Max Orange Line Light Rail and Transit Mall and others. PDC and their NPI districts, the Neighborhood Prosperity Initiatives, they provide focused support and services that include business technical assistance and small business loans, district grants and support, district staff, workforce development, and connecting to community anchor institutions. And then this last bullet here, really, I think Steve mentioned this in the beginning of with his comments. There'll be a need to seek additional funding to support those services in the NPI districts, and I think you'll even hear more testimony today that this is important. Here's just a map that shows the areas that the NPI serves. That we're really talking about quite a large area. It serves even beyond the specific boundaries of the NPIs, but the Division Corridor really, and through all of East Portland. Other actions, TriMet, through their DBE contracting and local hiring efforts, they've made some commitments there. Career training, a partnership that TriMet is interested in pursuing with Mount Hood Community College and PCC to help people with skills enter TriMet's workforce. And then there's also an interest in hiring a workforce navigator for East Portland to help people connect their skills with jobs. The last area of the conditions of approval are around transit service planning. It's been another focus of our conversations with the community, and I think you'll hear more about this one, too, today. So TriMet has committed to increasing service in the corridor by reallocating the service hours that are on the line for today to other parts of the corridor that could include new north-south service. For East Portland, where the transit network needs, more routes and more service, this has been one of their most important priorities. And then that last bullet is really about sort of Powell Boulevard will not be forgotten. We had started off this planning process with sort of the inner Powell out to 82nd as a potential route. We moved away from that as a potential route just to do some due to a number of challenges with that as an alignment. Metro has offered to continue to advance Powell Boulevard in the region's high capacity plan, so there'll be that will continue to advance as their high capacity plan gets amended and updated. So sort of the last thing, we've had, even since we put all of this information together, we've had further conversations with the community. There's four proposed amendments that I believe you would have all received. They're sort of highlighted here. One is entering into a signed MOU with the four community groups that we've been meeting with. That would be OPAL, APANO, Division Midway Alliance, and EPAP, East Portland Action Plan. Thank you. that would really take those conditions of approval and memorialize them even further. That would be a document we'd come back to all of you and present it to you for your approval. Identifying a timeline for the housing strategy, those housing units that I laid out for you. Housing Bureau believes that can be done within a five-year window, that they either be well under construction or occupied. Really a statement around, next item is really a statement around the business technical assistance and that being a high priority for the city. And then the last one really just sort of to strengthen TriMet's commitment to transit service planning in East Portland. So, okay, that's everything I have for you. So questions for us?
Just one, it's just a detail provoked by seeing progress on electric buses last weekend at C40. Mm-hmm. Where they now have buses that can go all day on a single charge, which used to be a problem. When will equipment be selected for this project, assuming it continues in its progress?
I'm going to look to TriMet.
Alan, about 2 years? Oh, good. That gives them 2 more years to make them even better. All right, good. Thank you. Other questions?
Thank you very much, Gene and Bob and Leah. This is not a question. I actually just wanted to move the amendments.
Okay. So we have the package of four proposed amendments. I think they're copies for public if you want them, that deal with the MOU, the housing strategy, business technical assistance, and transit service planning. Commissioner Novick moves those amendments. Is there a second?
Second.
Further discussion on adopting the amendments before we take testimony? Okay. Roll call, please.
Can we take testimony first?
Aye.
We can adopt them and then see.
Aye.
Aye.
Yeah. Aye. Obviously, if you think those are bad amendments, let us know, but we think they're non-controversial. Okay, let's call on people for testimony then, please.
I believe our invited...
Do you have some invited testimony first? Okay, please.
We have Shabray Vickers representing PCC Southeast Campus, Ian Studi representing PSU, Michael Harrison representing OHSU, followed by Lori Boyson of the Division Midway Alliance, Ken Marks of the East Portland Action Plan, and Andre Baugh, Vice Chair of Planning and Sustainability Commission.
Okay. Great. Welcome. Nick Shabri, you might be first, or whatever order you'd like to be in. So.
Good afternoon. My name is Shabri Vickers, Community Relations Manager at the PCC Southeast Campus. I'm here today on behalf of Dr. Jessica Howard, our campus president and a long-term steering committee member. We appreciate the opportunity to share our support for the locally preferred alternative, and we encourage your yes vote today. Thank you for what you've already done. PCC Southeast Campus is part of a vibrant community, distinguished by tremendous cultural richness and a wide range of experiential knowledge and a resilient spirit. Our campus sits at the intersection of 82nd Avenue and Southeast Division Street in one of the most racially and ethnically diverse areas in the city. Our neighbors and our community members can also be characterized by some of the lowest levels of income and educational attainment in the region and state. And we see the Powell Division Projects LPA as key to ensuring access to timely, reliable, and inexpensive transportation. Many stakeholders and myself consider this project as a means to create an education corridor, which links Mount Hood Community College, our Southeast Campus and Climb Center, with Portland State University and Oregon Health and Science University. This emphasis on education not only relates to the classroom, both Mount Hood Community College and our Southeast Campus boast small business development centers, and these support the primary business sector of this region. Small businesses in affordable and culturally responsive ways. PCC's travel demand management strategy requires that the college continue to make transit a priority, and our students have voted to support this. As a result, we have increased our transit pass subsidy from 25% up to 50% this year, and our transit pass sales have recently doubled and remain in high demand. This LPA will support academic success for our students who live in Southeast Portland. Over 70% of our students live within 5 miles of our campus, and an overwhelming majority choose to study in person rather than online. We have a student population that is growing and is among the most diverse in the state. A majority of our campus student population identifies as non-white, and 68% are under the age of 30. PCC Southeast strongly supports the Powell Division Transit and Development Project, locally preferred alternative, and we encourage an affirmative vote today to advance this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Studi, welcome.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. For the record, my name is Ian Studi. I'm the Director of Transportation for Portland State University. I'm here today to express PSU's support for the Powell Division Transit Project. Accompanying my testimony today on behalf of PSU, you should also have received a joint letter of support from Portland State and OHSU. PSU, we are well aware of the multitude of positive impacts that can result from transit investments like the Powell Division Project. We have a proven track record of supporting transit infrastructure and capitalizing on that investment through our nationally recognized transportation demand management programs. The net result is that the majority of PSU students and employees now utilize public transit to access our campus and the central city, removing thousands of vehicles from the road each day. This has also allowed PSU to develop hundreds of thousands of square feet of space for education and research without the need to build new and costly parking garages. We see similar promise in the potential for the Powell Division Project. In addition to our support for the project as a whole, PSU strongly urges the use of the Tillicum Bridge alignment for this new rapid transit line. This alignment choice is critical to ensuring transit access to both PSU and OHSU to our campuses and improving that service through this project. Our robust partnerships with OHSU and Portland Community College will benefit greatly from this project. We support the vision for an education corridor via public transit. And linking our campuses via a contiguous alignment is a smart decision for the city and TriMet to make. Portland State takes our responsibility as an anchor institution very seriously, and we wear our access-driven mission with pride. An opportunity for East Portland residents to be able to access our campus more readily is, in our eyes, a win for the entire city. Thank you again for the opportunity to speak here today, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Mr. Harrison.
Good afternoon. My name is Michael Harrison, and I manage local government and neighborhood relations for OHSU. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. I'm here, like our partner institutions, to support the LPA today. The vision for an education corridor is compelling and one OHSU strongly endorses, and I thank Shabri and Ian for their thoughtful comments. Through LIDs, SDC payments, and land donation, OHSU has partnered with the city and TriMet to significantly improve transit connections to South Waterfront over the years, most notably the Tillicum Crossing and the extension of light rail, the streetcar, and bus service to the southern end of the central city. While we're extremely grateful for these investments, our hope is that this is just the beginning. Taken together, the existing Tillicum Crossing and Transit Viaduct are more than a mile of dedicated transit lanes. As auto congestion increases in the future, the time savings of routing additional transit across the Tillicum will be significant, both in terms of transit efficiency as well as better knitting OHSU and PSU into an expanding central city. I urge your support for the resolution before you today, and thank you for your consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for working on this. Thank you very much. Okay, let's take the next three, Steve.
Lori Boyson, Kim Marks, Andre Ball.
Good afternoon. Welcome. I think Ms. Boyson, that you're first, if that's okay with you.
Sure. Thank you very much. I'm Lori Boyson. I'm the Executive Director for the Division Midway Alliance and a steering committee member on the Division Transit and Development Project. Mayor Hills and Commissioners, I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today about the Bus Rapid Transit Project and its potential benefits for our community. Specifically, I would like to thank you, Commissioner Novick, for working with staff to add today's amendments to include a memorandum of understanding with community groups to assure that community stability goals are met. I don't believe DMA would be advocating for this project if you had not gotten the MOU added to the resolution, and I thank you for that. As the title suggests, the Division Transit and Development Project is more than just a transit project. At the outset of this project, committee members identified the following goals for the BRT development and transit improvements: establish a safe and convenient transportation option, create safe, healthy neighborhoods, and improve access to social, educational, environmental, and economic opportunities, and bring reduced disparities and equitably distribute the benefits and burdens of change and benefit current residents. Community groups recognized the opportunity to bring equitable development to East Portland, and in November 2014, committee members released the list of community stability goals that we believed, if met, would bring stability to our community. Since that time, these goals have been reduced to the four areas we believe will help achieve the project goals listed above, and those are outlined in Exhibit C. They are the increased business technical assistance and support, as well as workforce development opportunities during and after project construction, a housing investment strategy and timeline that will commit to housing projects along the alignment, including East Portland, a strengthened commitment to use the 1,400 service hours from the number 4 to increase north-south transit service in East Portland, as well as a commitment to add new service on 148th or 162nd, if possible, before 2021. A citizens advisory committee with representation on the project committee to keep community at the table through construction. East Portland needs these commitments regardless of the transit project. The action plan and supporting documents outline a successful transit project. A signed memorandum of understanding sends community the message that the City of Portland and TriMet are committed to East Portland's successes as well. Rest assured, community will continue to advocate for continued funding for the approved action plan throughout the entirety of this project. I want to thank you for your time and commitment to improving transit in Portland.
Thank you.
Just ask a clarifying question. I thought I understood you to say that there currently isn't bus transit on 148th or 162nd.
There is no transit service on one. But the only north-south service in East Portland is 122nd, 181st.
Wow. Thank you for bringing that to my attention.
Lori, I just wanted to say it's been an honor to work with you over the past 4 years, and I can't resist saying one last time that when I hear Division Midway Alliance, I think, aren't they the people that won the Second World War? No, on Pearl Harbor Day.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Thank you. Mr. Baugh?
I'm going to allow him to go first.
Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, Council. I beg your indulgence and that it's not easy for me to read this because of my vision, and so if I stumble a little bit. My name is Kim Marks. I am the East Portland Action Plan Representative to the Division High Capacity Rapid Transit Project. East Portland comprises 20% of the city's land and approximately 20% or 28% of the population. It has also has significantly higher concentrations of people of color, elderly, children, disabled, and immigrants, a large segment of who are transit dependent. On the record, it's not in my statement, but I want to make sure that you all know that East Portland Action Plan voted against the LPA when it came up for a vote. Having said that, EPAP appreciates Council's directive to the city bureaus to enter into an MOU by June 15, 2017. However, we do hope that it will be faster than that. And thus, we support going forward at this point. with the stipulation that the MOU with the city agencies needs to move beyond the contents of Exhibit C for the reasons stated below. East Portland is poised to lose much and gain little. Exhibit C was to have addressed our concerns, but the content and the commitments are inadequate to our needs. A few points will establish this fact. Portland Housing Bureau is proposing 85 to 125 affordable units along the alignment for East Portland, while Cesar Chavez and Division is slated to get up to 300 units. Involuntary displacement can be prevented in East or by investing in East Portland, but it has to be now. At the very least, the number of affordable units should be comparable. EPAP has long argued the number four underlying service should not be eliminated. Our position wasn't seriously considered by TriMet or Metro. TriMet did add back four stops in East Portland, but only after EPAP and DMA demonstrated that the number of people who would lose their primary stop was over 50% or higher in some places. Still, 37% of the East Portland stops will be eliminated. With respect to TriMet, Exhibit C demonstrates TriMet's unwillingness to commit to replacement of the loss of East Portland stops with north-south service, and only alludes to it in the most equivocal language, with so many caveats that even the best contract lawyers would blush. TriMet is only willing to, quote-unquote, look at north-south service by 2021 after the division project is finished. That is almost 5 years from now and is unacceptable. There are no north-south routes in East Portland and Gresham between 122nd and 181st. This is a gap of 2.9 miles. In addition, there are no routes in East Portland that directly go to the Columbia Corridor where family wage jobs are concentrated. TriMet should begin the planning to add its service immediately. TriMet should not be adding service to more affluent areas while East Portland waits. TriMet should be banking resources while it completes the Title VI analysis and planning process, which is expected to take 18 months. This council and the city has a responsibility to advocate for East Portland with our TriMet and Metro partners, in that the current product does not demonstrate success thus far. We ask you to exert your influence at this juncture beyond the language of this resolution, and I should add title or Exhibit C. EPAP is responsibly exerting our role to provide leadership and guidance when we say that north-south service should be established on either 148th or 162nd before the high-capacity transit project is completed, and that these routes should be prioritized over adding service to other parts of the network. For equity's sake, EPAP contends that no service should be added in any part of the network that have a higher median family income than East Portland and has a service gap less than the 2.9 miles that we experience in East Portland. We need City Council to direct the above be addressed proactively so that the community does not need to pursue alternative remedies such as Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Mr. Baugh, welcome.
Andre Baugh, Planning Sustainability Commissioner, but today I'm here as a citizen. First, I'd like to thank Commissioner Novak for the amendments, putting those in. I have not been a fan of this project from its inception, and with those amendments, I am very encouraged that this project and the communities can work together to be, I think, as successful as it can be. The my concern along with this project has not been about transit when it was the Powell division, now the division. It's been about displacement of individuals. It's been about housing. It's been about community involvement. And it's been about displacement of businesses also. These amendments address four things in my view. One, it focuses the resources on the corridor, the housing resources, the business resources. It focuses the communities in the corridor, not in a general East Portland. Second, it pushes the spending up front. Displacement's going to happen up front on these projects, not at the end of the project. So the faster we can spend for housing, business, preservation of individuals and businesses, the better off, and the benefits will attribute to those communities faster. They get to stay in the communities and work with U.S. City Council in accepting those benefits and, I guess, growing, and because transit does bring other benefits to communities. We see them improve. We've seen it downtown. We've seen it in other communities. And we want those benefits to go to East Portland. But we don't want them to go to the residents that are there today, not the ones that are coming in. The other part is this issue around TriMet and the service level. To me, this is a serious issue. I believe Commissioner Novak's PBOT, Art Pierce, has put together a part of a solution out there. It's called the service enhancement that they're trying to get actually TriMet to add more buses to East Portland into the 448th, 162nd. But how do you bring service back to that's going to be taken away, back to a transit area, and ensure that they get better service overall because of a new transit line coming in? And that's important. I mean, these are people that are transit dependent, and we want them to use transit. You heard earlier from staff, buses are filled up on the lines they do have. How do we get them more transit to fill up more buses? And that's a good problem to have. I mean, that's a good feature to have, especially in kind of north-south ways. And lastly, the community involvement. The MOU is really an equity issue for me. It puts them in a perception area on an equal footing with everybody else on this issue, and allows them to sit at the table. And that's important for low-income and minority communities and communities of color. This is a neighborhood and a number of neighborhoods that fill from time to time that, in my experience on the Planning Commission, are not listened to. And now you're saying, yeah, you're going to be at the table, you're going to be part of that conversation and part of the planning process, and we are going to listen to you. So thank you for that, because I think the communities want to be at the table. They want to provide input, and they want to be constructive members of this community. And in my experience, I've been doing this as long as you, Mayor.
we shouldn't admit that.
And I was just disappointed to see communities saying no to a transit project, because it's been since the South North, and if you remember that long ago, that's 96, 97, that someone has said no and on a transit project. We have been the model city for bringing communities together to go to the federal government, and we should continue that. And you do that with involving communities and getting them to come forward. So thank you very much. I guess the last thing I would say is it's the accountability now. It is holding our partners to do what they say they're going to do. It's doing what we say we're going to do from the Housing Bureau and PBOT, and also funding. You heard earlier there's lack of business money for the business support. So the budgets coming up are going to be important to ensure that we fund these things, because that's how the businesses today are going to probably have to utilize part of that money to stay there, because transit does bring a lift and in property values and things. And we want those businesses to be preserved and benefit from that lift coming from this project. Thank you.
Thank you.
So is it the understanding of the memorandum of understanding that the parties are going to come back to us by June to have a proposal for how to do the bus service on 148th, 162nd?
I'm not sure. You'd want to talk to TriMet about how there's a process of planning that needs to start with TriMet about how they're going to put together their transit service, and I would encourage that to be part of the MOU, and I believe that's what's proposed in the MOU.
Yeah, but it seems to me that, I mean, I'm appalled. I will stop whining about the 44 not going often enough on Sundays. I think actually the services to Southwest, which have been improved, at the same time there's nothing on those two streets, and it seems to me that having a loop that would go one way and one the other way, just not coming into town, because lots of people don't want to catch the bus downtown. As you mentioned about getting to the Columbia Corridor, we heard earlier this week that 59% of renters drive to work, and we know that a lot of East Portland has rental as residents, as community members. So it's not surprising, isn't it? And then when we're looking at the bus service to schools, and we heard, well, David Douglas and Park Rose has their yellow buses, but if you miss, it's not surprising again that when you miss the yellow bus, you have no other option. So I hope that TriMet and others who are listening are hearing the urgency in my voice, and Commissioner, I'll be sure to watch out for this, make sure it comes back. Thank you.
If I might, Commissioner Fritz, part of the issue, again, that East Portland Action Plan has is the TriMet's timeline and waiting to start north-south service, possibly waiting to...
Yeah, no, that I want to be very clear. That's not acceptable to me.
So thank you.
I think that needs to happen sooner rather than later, and I think it would actually be... It sounds like it would be packed, but all the buses, I bet you would have a challenge with the running enough.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz.
Yep. Thank you. Amen. Thank you all very much. Okay, that's it for invited testimony. Is that correct, Commissioner?
That's all right.
We have some other folks signed up, I believe.
Right, we have seven speakers. Okay. Please come up when I call your name. Douglas Allen, Terry Dublinski Milton, and John Carr. Then they'll be followed by Arlene Kanura, Susan Pierce, and Rick Barto.
Welcome. Good afternoon.
Record, my name is Doug Allen. I live in Southeast Portland. Mayor Hales and members of the council, Division BRT is neither light rail nor a substitute for light rail. However, quoting TriMet General Manager Neil McFarland, it may be a model for other heavy use lines in our system. As you may know, TriMet fixed route ridership grew a paltry 5% total over the decade from 2005 to 2015, and lately, we're seeing actual year-over-year declines in the range of 5%. As population and density grow and we expect to reduce reliance on the automobile, this disconnect between housing and our transportation systems cannot continue. If Division BRT does anything, the least it must demonstrate is a path towards increased transit ridership. Unfortunately, there are three interconnected problems with the current plan. Number one, there are excessive gaps between some of the stops. The fleet will be 60-foot-long diesel buses. Service will operate no more frequently than the current Line 4 Division bus, approximately every 15 minutes during the day base. Now remember, this is not an express bus. There is no underlying local service planned for Division. The BRT will be the local service. If TriMet reduces access and fails to increase frequency, ridership may not grow even if the signal system speeds up the buses. Is this really a wise model for all of the heavily used TriMet bus routes, removing a majority of the stops? The stop spacing is defined in the LPA with some gaps close to 1/2 mile. Stops should be no further apart than 1/4 mile. Most TriMet stops are now between 1/10 and 1/6 mile apart. The proven way to increase ridership is to increase frequency. Day-based service should be at least every 10 minutes, and it should be operated with a fleet of battery electric buses. For most of the day, standard-length electric buses will be more than adequate, but it may make sense to add a few larger buses for selected peak trips. Recent advances in battery technology mean that transit buses with adequate performance and range are now available at a lower life cycle cost than diesel buses. So why aren't electric buses part of the plan as a favored alternative? When I testified before the Powell Division Steering Committee recommending battery electric buses at more frequent intervals, I was told that electric buses were not part of the plan. They had been considered and rejected. Multiple project handouts make clear that service frequency will not be increased, and the vehicles will be 60-foot diesel buses. Unless you speak up now, the opportunity to use non-polluting electric vehicles running on renewable power will be lost. And likewise, unless you ask for more frequent service and additional stops where needed, the project will be a tragic waste of city TriMet and federal resources with no new ridership to show for it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Welcome.
Just ask, I mean, that speaks to what you brought up at the beginning.
I want
to
hear
Commissioner
about that.
Novick, is that correct, that there's no option for changing to a different technology?
I'd ask staff to come up to respond to that.
Okay, well,
let's do that
event.
Later.
Yeah.
Let's do that
I'm
later.
Sorry.
I'll still hear from people, but I want to ask staff.
I appreciate the
that.
Concern.
Yeah, thanks for bringing it up. We'll get you up later, Alan. That's fine. Go ahead.
Okay. Terry Dublinski-Milton, I do have a handout for you. I want to speak in favor of the project, but specifically towards the issues that have been talked about in the inner neighborhoods. I'm speaking as a private citizen, but because of the boards I've sat on over the last 3 years, I've been tracking this project from the beginning. And this is where I tell you 3 years ago, I said, I told you so, it wouldn't work without dedicated lines on Powell. And so what has happened over the last year is when we realized that there wasn't enough money for Powell, it was pigeonholed into Division, and there's a lot of reticence. But I'd like to say that a lot of this is because of the excitement of dealing with Powell, because Powell was such a monster. And I know that that's not part of this project. But the reason why I think for the inner neighborhoods that we should support it is the 30th station was added at the last couple of months. This was one of the big gaps in the inner Division. It completes the bike lane gap between 52nd and 60th. We'll have increased reliability and capacity, and it does increase the service on the 20 bus line as part of the project. The 20 is going to be moving up to frequent service. The biggest problem is at the Clinton Triangle. When the Orange Line was built, we had an overpass that was pulled from 16th and Clinton area. And now when you get those freight trains that sit, people try to carry their bikes over, they go under the tracks, somebody's going to get a limb ripped off eventually. It's safety there and the replacement of the Gideon Street overpass, which is part of the amendments, which was included, really does need to be part of this. I'm going to spend the last minute and 20 seconds talking about Powell. The excitement and the reticence was because we were excited about fixing Powell, and now we can't. And it is a big project. So what I want to talk about is the future of Powell and putting this as a high-capacity project. I'm calling this the Purple Line. Okay, the Purple Line would go from Clackamas Town Center to Beaverton Transit Center via Powell and through downtown. It would cut the commute time from Clackamas Town Center to PSU from 53 minutes at 28 stops down to 30 minutes, estimate with 16 stops. And it would shorten the commute time from Clackamas Town Center to Beaverton Transit Center from 73 minutes with a transfer to 50 minutes with no transfer. Now, when you're looking at long-range regional planning, we have our exception land where they're building single-family homes in Damascus and Happy Valley, but the tech sector is in Beaverton. So if we're ever going to drop down the people who are commuting through Portland, we're going to have to give them better transit. And at this point, we'll be able to redesign Powell, because this would be a $1 billion project after the Southwest Corridor, and by that point, the current administration will be gone, so we'll probably have money for transit. It would allow us to really pull down a single occupancy vehicle rate. And my last 3 seconds, we're adding 20 high-frequency bus on the 20 bus line on a high-crash corridor without improvements between 41st and 68th. We need to pay attention. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and commissioners. My name is John Carr. I'm a resident of South Tabor, and I'm here today as a representative of Portland Clean Air. Portland Clean Air has over 1,500 Portland donors and is working with a dozen stakeholder groups throughout Oregon addressing air pollution. First, it is our view that the addition of high-capacity transit to the Powell Division Corridor will help improve local air quality by making transit more attractive than driving. But I want to speak to the potential of this project to do even more towards reducing pollution, noise, and carbon emissions in this rapidly densifying corridor. And to do that, I want to focus on a central aspect that has come up regarding the bus rapid transit project, and that is the buses themselves. From the start, project planners have considered using a, quote, newer bus technology than diesel. We have no reason to doubt that this is still their intention, yet the final recommendation before you today leaves the bus type an open question. I should clarify, bus size is spelled out, called for is a